Good morning. How are we? Good, awake, enjoying. I'm good. Yeah, enjoying the cold change. Prefer it hot. Well, if it was minus 20 degrees, I think you might be saying something a bit different. Well, this morning, I'm going to be reading a scripture verse from John. John 1, verses 1 to 18. And it's ironic that we're reading this scripture verse today, because the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the lights of Christmas. We've been talking about the light, and this scripture really focuses on that. And so I'm going to share it with you this morning. I do need a couple of volunteers first, though, this morning. I'll borrow you in a minute, okay? I knew that you'd volunteer, so I just had it in the back of my mind. I have a specific task just for you. But I need some smaller volunteers, maybe people below, you know, this height here. And I'm going to, if they want to, I'm going to put some paper and some pencils over on the table. And if they want to, they can draw some Christmas lights or some fireworks for me. I mean, you don't have to be below this height. If you want to do it, you can do it. But there's an option there for you. But I want to read this scripture for you this morning, and it's from John, and I really love this scripture, and I love what it talks about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." And we know from the Christmas story, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and the Word was Jesus. Well, I'm going to borrow my volunteer. We know who it is. I hope you don't mind, but I want to blindfold you this morning. Is that all right? Okay. Can you just hold my microphone for me while I do this?
You'll only have to be blindfolded for a few minutes, I promise. Or maybe until the end of the service.
That's fine.
Just doing a test. I think it's working. Yeah. that wasn't me, by the way. Just clarifying. Okay. So you're living in darkness at the moment. Yep. Okay. Just stay that way for a little bit, and we'll see how you're going in a sec. Well, Over the past couple of days, the past couple of weeks, lots of people in different parts of Australia have spent the Christmas season and the New Year's season without power. And I'm sure that there's been many parties and other plans that have been spoiled because of the terrible weather that stopped communities in their tracks. And all of us here are quite fortunate to have power. I know the power might have gone out a couple of times, but we're fortunate to have power at the moment. And to enjoy the air conditioning, I'm sure, the last couple of days that have been really hot. We've been fortunate enough to have that power, and I'm sure that we've given a thought to those that perhaps don't have power and those that are suffering in different parts of Australia and those whose plans have been turned into chaos. People burnt out are, of course, in an even worse state than we are, suffering in the heat. What a way to spend the new year. Running from fire, living without power, living without light. And I know that many communities, due to the fires, I've seen pictures of the communities, and you look at those pictures and it's just like this dark red colour covering towns, this darkness covering towns. What a relief it would be to see the light peeking through the clouds. I know that the times when I'm at home and it's a sunny day and there's sun streaming through a particular window, sometimes I'll just go and I'll stand in that light and just bask in that light because it's just so beautiful. Or sometimes when it's a rainy day, but you can see in the distance some light shining through the clouds and it's just like this ray of sunshine shining down into one spot. I don't know if there's gold at that in that particular spot, but it just looks beautiful and it just reminds us of the light. And it reminds us of the hope that light brings. Well, I've got this story. I'm going to take your blindfold off soon, don't worry. I've got this story from a man in England. And he said, some years back, the village that he lived in had his power cut by the weather over Christmas. There was nothing to be done. They simply had to wait it out. Neighbours checked on one another. Those who could move their celebration to family and friends or moved them to other places. There was no way to finish what had been planned before the cut. When the lights go out in the depth of winter in the Northern Hemisphere, darkness has a way of incapacitating them. Literally unable to see what they're doing, all the usual things have to stop. At first, it can seem charming and romantic. Oh, the lights are out, we'll light some candles. But as the freezer defrosts and the house heating chills, or in our case in Australia, as the house starts to warm up, the limits of cooking with a camping stove become plain. Then things become uncomfortable and tiresome. Waiting for the lights to come back on is burdensome, but there isn't any alternative. For most people, at least, they just have to wait for the light. Well, I'm going to get you to just come this way for a little bit. Okay. And I want you to turn around, okay? And in a moment, I'm going to get you to take your blindfold off. You know, once you've been in dark for a while, sometimes the light can be a bit uncomfortable. So I'm going to get you to take your blindfold off just for a sec. Whoa, okay. Taking some time to adjust? Yep. Good? Okay. Took him a moment to adjust. He's still blinking. I didn't tell him that I was going to blind him. Thank you. You can go grab a seat. Hopefully you can find your way there. You're not too startled by the light. You know, sometimes when we're in darkness for a while, the light can seem a little bit uncomfortable at first. But we know that light is good. In the scripture, one of the first acts of God is to create light and to separate it from darkness. Light is fundamental to life. So the first biblical day of creation is the day of light. We're told that light is separated from darkness. These things are opposite, light, darkness, and they're not to be confused.
The life-giving light is defined as good. And it's even more than that, because without light, life on this planet could not exist. Light is a fundamental for existence and survival. Here's an ancient wisdom confirmed by science. The death of sunlight would be the death of life as we know it. So when John writes of Jesus among us as the light of all people, we immediately understand how profound it is that Jesus is the light. Christ incarnate is a life-giving light. God is light, it says, and in him is no darkness at all. The writings of John again and again refer to light as good, life-giving, guiding, revealing, truthful, qualities that are self-evident to us and speak to our hearts and minds of the character and presence of Jesus. Jesus is holiness bright amongst us, the exact opposite of human sinfulness. So in John's account of the world, the darkness is the enemy of God. Darkness is deceitful, it's chaotic, it's sinful, it's evil, it's life-destroying. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It did not overcome it, and it will not overcome it. For John, the contrast of light and darkness is stark. He never really explains the term. He says light and darkness, it's obvious. In church tradition, John is thought to have lived to a great age and have experienced personally those who abused and twisted Christian understandings for their own ends. They seem sincere to almost tell the truth, but to John, they were false teachers who told lies about God and about Jesus. Some of them said they were so pure and holy that even if they did sin, it didn't really count for anything. Others said that Jesus was not fully human and that his death on the cross wasn't in any way a sacrifice for sin. These are untruths, says John. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The incarnation of Jesus, Jesus becoming human, has consequences that cannot be avoided. Jesus, the light, exposes the darkness so that we receive grace upon grace and are not led astray. The ultimate test is the active faith of loving one another. Anything other than that is avoidance and deceit. We must be plain with what can be seen. There's a play called Ghosts by Henrik Ibsen. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. But in this play, there's two characters. There's Pastor Manders and Mrs. Elving. And they reminisce about the deceased Mr. Elving. The pastor speaks highly of the woman's husband, who has been regarded as a respectable pillar of the local community. But suddenly, Mrs. Elving opens up to the cleric and tells the truth about her husband. Things that she's kept to herself for many years. Things that have been kept in the dark. Mr. Elving is revealed as a drunkard and a womanizer. Far from being a happy marriage, their relationship has been a disturbing one from the very beginning. She's endured misery in her home for years. And why? Simply for the sake of appearances. The couple's social status and place in the local community was more important than the truth. The Gospel of John will have nothing to do with being fake or covering things up. For John, the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus coming to live among us, enlivens us as people, and there can be no shame in truth. Christ our light must be Christ our guide. If we are like Mrs. Elving and hide the truth, then we miss out on real fellowship with one another, getting to know one another, honesty. And we miss out on spending real quality time with God. Living in the light should not be avoided. Christ with us changes things forever. Christ our light shines in the darkness. Christ our light is always more powerful than darkness, than any darkness that we can experience. There's a story that after the end of the Second World War, a lighthouse keeper off the coast of Scotland spied in the distance a huge unexploded mine drifting towards his little island. Each wave was bringing the dreaded thing nearer and nearer. There was nothing that could prevent its advance. All that could be done was to reinforce the lighting rig as best as possible. The explosion, when it came, was enormous and was heard miles away on the shore. Some of the locals decided to sail out to discover what had happened, where this noise had come from. What they found was a huge hole in the island rocks and the lighthouse, and a seriously injured lighthouse keeper. But the light itself was still signing out its warning and safely guiding ships to shore. Jesus is our light. This is John's conviction as he tells us of the Word made flesh, God among us. In the storms of life, just as in the joys of life, Jesus shines out. The powers of darkness, no matter how threatening, can never destroy the light. Let the true light, which enlightens everyone, be our guide in all things. Let the light shine. I don't know about you, but when it comes to winter, I can't wait for summer. Not because so much that I'm cold, but because I miss the light. I miss those long hours of daylight and being able to enjoy my time in the sun. And it's said that that physically, for your mental health, you need to spend time out in the sun. For your physical health, you need to spend time out in the sun. Light is good for us. We yearn for light. I don't know much about houseplants, but I do know that if they don't experience light, they die. I know this because I planted one of those Woolworths seeds. I can't remember what they were called, but anyway. I planted it and I was hoping for it to grow, and I watched and watched and I waited. It did not grow. I hadn't put it in the light. But I know that plants, they make their way towards light. They grow towards light. They yearn for light. And as it is for us, we yearn for light. We yearn to be out of darkness. And we yearn for Jesus. And so we're going to sing this morning. We're going to sing, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee." And you know, as the deer pants for the water, we long for God. As plants yearn for light, we yearn for God. For some of us, there's a hole inside of us, and we're waiting for it to be filled. We're yearning for something, and we don't know what it is. And that thing that's going to fill us, the only thing that's going to fill us, is the light of Jesus. And so we're going to sing this song this morning, and as we do, if you want to pray, you're welcome to pray where you are. If you want to come to the front, you're welcome to kneel at the front and pray. As we yearn for Jesus this morning, let us sing this song and reflect on what his light brings us and what darkness it brings us out of. Let's sing.